All right, so listen up. I got all sorts of fun things to talk about. You can turn on the lights. Turn on these lights so I can see the people's faces. Or don't do it at all. There we go. All right, sweet. All right, I have a lot to share with you about this particular project. This is a project that is near and dear to us right now because we know the impact that it will have in our community. And we know as a church, the size of our church, that we can do a lot of big, cool things. And knowing the stories that we've had in the past, and I've shared some of these with you, we know the importance of the pipeline. And one of these stories is a horrific story that I will share often at this church, just so that you have this reminder stained on your head as we move forward as a church and being kingdom-minded. And that's why it's important that I want this story to stick with you forever. Many years ago, our beloved Tara was assisting the local elementary school with the nursing. And inside the nursing, we had a school nurse that was very well-versed with all of the families at the local elementary school. So she was she was not numb to the situation, but this was a regular occurrence, okay? Tara was not in the moment, and so it hit her hard. So that morning, there was a student who showed up there to the school, and he was barfing mustard. And so the question was, honey, why are you barfing mustard? And he goes, well, that's all we had for breakfast. And so I just ate a bowl of mustard this morning. This was like a normal occurrence that they would have students that were in homes that didn't have food on a regular basis. And they relied on the school breakfasts and lunch and the little bit of backpacks that some churches are able to provide to these students with some food. When COVID struck and kids were at home, it was a real moment in the school systems that they were discussing that they knew that these kids at homes would go without, and how can we fix this? Well, at the time, you know, we as a church, we were in the theater downtown, and we didn't really have the resources. I don't want this to ever happen. I pray against COVID to never happen again, or we have no more pandemic, but I want us to be prepared as a church that we're ready to go in a moment's crisis like this, that we're prepared, that we have backpacks ready, full of food, and that we can assist these students where they are at their houses. So all of that to say, this outreach is going to be an amazing space for our directors to work from, and they've got all sorts of wonderful things lined up to begin that process. Now, as you notice, it's under construction right now. There's a lot of things that need to get done. There needs to be plumbing. There needs to be more framing, electrical. There needs to be AC and heat got to be put in there. So all of those things add up pretty quickly. And some of you in this room, you're going to gasp when I tell you the price. And some of you are going to be like, nah, that's a bucket. That's nothing. That's just a drop in the bucket. We can take care of it. And you know what? We can take care of it because, and I'm going to use that crazy cliche statement, but it's so true. If it's God's will, it's his bill. And he takes care of it. God takes care of these things. I've seen it over and over and over again. So the cost of this facility is going to be $45,000 with completeness. And we're going to take care of that. You know why? Because we are the body of Christ. We're going to rise up and we're going to take care of this. Now, I'm introducing some things. So for all of you guys, you are in what? You are in our facility. You are at home. For some of you that have been here with us forever, Jody's been with us forever, since day one. For all of you that have been with us just for maybe a week or two, this is home. So years ago, we had a giving campaign that we called The Journey Home. Well, guess what? We're home. And we actually still have people who ask often. They'll say, hey, can I give towards Journey Home? And I go, yeah, but we're home. Like, there's always that moment, but I see what they're asking. They're like, I want to give towards the facility to continue the growth because there's more to develop here. So I always kind of chuckle inside when they go, can I give to Journey Home? And I go, yeah, but we're not journeying home anymore. We're there. So just for some of you who still give towards that, which is wonderful, and I'm glad that you do because it does help, we're going to switch out the terminology to Heart for This House. Okay, so it's Heart for the House. So Heart for the House is going to be an offering that we receive. It's a seed offering for this house. Now, I want to read to you the scripture of where we're coming from with this. And I love this scripture, and it would disappear as I want to pull it up. But it is in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 4. And it says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." I want us to have the knowledge of God in what we need to do. I want us to have a wisdom that surpasses earthly wisdom, earthly understanding, to know what God's got for us, what we need to be doing. Because this house right here is God's house. So I am super thrilled that we're going to receive a Heart for the House offering on April 17th. That's on Easter. Now, anytime from now until Easter, you can give towards that. That's fine. But I want us to bring in that $45,000 to pay for this. I don't want to borrow money. I don't want to do those things. I want to pay for this offer, or for this outreach space. And I want to do it up. I want to have everything that we need in there. You know, we have medical professionals in this place, and there's often times that we get to minister to people in a medical different way. I mean, you name it, we've done it. Well, what I love is that when they're doing this, if they're doing an examination or whatever, they can actually talk to them spiritually. This is a safe place that they're not bound to, I've got to look like a doctor and act like a doctor and talk about science. No, I can talk about the spiritual needs that they may have. I can pray with them for healing. I can pray and believe with them and stand in agreement with healing. So I'm thrilled to have this space down here. It's just going to be tremendous. So on April 17th, we're receiving an Easter seed offering for this space, okay? Now, right now, we're going to receive an offering for the normal tithes and offerings right now. So if you are giving for the first time and you're not unaware of all the different ways you can give, you can follow all the promptings behind me here. We have this beautiful app, okay? I love the app. Download the app. It's super simple, safe, secure, all that good stuff. If you're old school like me, you can go to the offering envelopes and the seat backs in front of you and get those out. And as we dismiss today, there's offering baskets at the door. Now, for some of you that are maybe just now downloading the app, download the app and you're going to see that it's super simple. You just select the giving tab, okay? Now, once you select the giving tab, I'd like for you to take your phone and I'd like you to hand it to your neighbor. Now, you that are a neighbor, I would like you to give the way that you've always wanted to give. Now everyone in this room, you found that funny. I found that funny too. And I understand what I'm saying. And you're like, oh, it's one of those pastors. He's so funny when it comes to offering. But here's the deal. I want us to give like we're supposed to give, all right? We're supposed to give. We're supposed to give our tithes, our offerings. Malachi chapter 3, and I love it, in verse 10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it all in." And then I love how the NLT version puts it in there. It says, try it. Try it. All right. I'm going to pray over the offering. We're going to receive it. And then I'm going to get right into my message this morning. Lord, we thank you as we've been given the opportunity, the privilege to give today. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that we have the blessings that you've given us, Lord, that you have provided for us time and time again so that, Lord, that we can just be, Lord, an instrument for noble purpose. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that today as we give, Lord, that I pray that this is a sweet aroma, Lord, that you receive it just like you did in the Old Testament days, Lord, that it is a sweet aroma. God, I thank you, Lord, as we have given today, Lord, we are believing, Lord, for breakthroughs. Lord, we're believing for doors to be open and the right doors that need to be closed. God, I thank you, Lord, that every need in our church is being met from the small to the tall. God, I thank you, Lord, and we honor you today, and it's in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. All right, kingdom-minded, let's get right into the message. Now, this is not going to be a very long message. I like to keep this kind of quick today. We're getting into time here. But kingdom-minded is a beautiful word or phrase. But the word kingdom, I just love it. When I started studying out this message, and I think what a privilege it is to talk about being kingdom-minded, talking about the kingdom. Man, that's what changes everything. The kingdom changes everything. For some of you that are maybe unfamiliar with this terminology, this is just being a Christian. It's that simple. Being a Christian is being kingdom-minded, that you view things in a different way, that you see it in a new perspective, and that you know that there's something greater than this life right here, that our decisions that we're making go beyond this, all right? So, I started Googling. When I start searching things out, I just search. I want to get it all. I just put out all sorts of different weird phrasings in Google, and I just go out. I get into all my books on my shelves, and I start diving in, and I research out, and I think kingdom. And I found it so funny that I searched in Google. I started typing in Google, and then I selected the A word by accident. At the very end, I just put A. And you know how Google will think what you're going to, you know, they're trying to help you. You're going to put in this next. And I thought I'd share with you what took place. And I found it funny. Obviously, no one else is really searching what I was searching because it only gave me two lead examples. Okay, so here we go. So let's show them. Being kingdom-minded gives you, and I was going to put power. I was going to put power, gives you power, gives you, and I was just going to go, but I selected A and it said a headache. And I thought, well, that's weird. Who's searching gives me a headache? And that was a really weird thought. And then the next one was a nickname. And I was like, a nickname? This is bizarre. I'm like, why would anyone be searching being kingdom-minded gives you a headache or a nickname? A nickname. Well, a nickname is a Christian. Gives me a Christian. I'm a Christian. It's who I am. I'm a son and a daughter of the Lord Most High. I'm an heir to the throne of Jesus Christ. I started thinking about all the nicknames. Like, this is great, but a headache. I'm like, well, when I'm dealing with people who aren't kingdom-minded, sometimes I get a headache. So I thought, well, maybe it does make sense. I don't know. Guys, the kingdom of heaven is both eternity in heaven with God after death. We see Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the eternal quality of life with God before death. Here we see in John 10:10, says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So when Jesus came back from the dead, that's when it changed. Everything changed. It marked the new beginning of a new kingdom. Death and sin no longer ruled, and he overcame them both. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see and live in a perspective, and not just in a perspective, but a full, encompassing, dwelling lifestyle of I'm different, and I know I'm different. I see things differently. I am loved by God, and God has it all knit together just for me. So being kingdom-minded gives me a changed opinion of what comes through these eyes, through these ears, and what goes out of this mouth. Being kingdom-minded changes everything. When I see stuff, I understand grace. I see mercy. I understand where I fit into the kingdom of God of, oh, I'm the one who has to change this. I'm the one that needs to be the leader on this. When I see things and I go, ooh, that's weird, that's bad, I'm the one that needs to point to the goodness of God. I'm the one that needs to stand up and know my identity in Christ Jesus. When I see bad things happen, I just look at it and I go, oh, geez, the devil, right? Just showing himself. How often do I hear that people feel so isolated and alone? Oh, you don't know my problems. And I think, No, I don't. And there's a reason why. And I hear them, and I'll listen to the problems, and I'll say, hey, you're not alone. What? I'm thinking, they think they're the only people. And I go, this is such a devil move to isolate, to cause people to think they're the only ones in sin, that they're the only ones dealing with it, and that they're isolated. No! It's a wake-up moment. Hey, listen, this is the devil. He's got you trapped. Okay? You are all up in his business, and he's all up in your business. It's time to acknowledge your identity in Jesus Christ, to know that authority and speak to those mountains in your life, to call them out for what they are and tell them to get out. Stop laying down and playing with the enemy. Gosh. I know it's easier said than done for some of you. You're sitting here going, listen, I know when troubles come. Hey, I'll give you an example. Now, Colton, I'll give you $5, okay? I promise. Okay? I'm going to use our story this past week, okay? Colton's like, oh, nuts. He just gave me that face. Like, what's the story? So Colton doesn't know any different. He's a Christian. He's accepted Jesus Christ in his life. He's my youngest son. Colton and I, we're driving, and there's some papers beside me. And he goes, what's those? And I said, well, I got my oil changed today, and I got my car inspected. I said, but I've got to go back tomorrow. I said, because they just charged me for my oil change. They didn't charge me for my inspection. And he goes, why? I go, well, because I know that that's wrong, that I should have gotten charged. The attendant behind the cash register just wasn't thinking, and he just missed it. But I recognized it about an hour or so later. I go, hold on, time out. He only charged me for the oil because it should have been more. And so he goes, yeah, but you should just, it's like totally fine. Like some of you would think, oh, that's just a blessing. Jesus bless me. Woo! Count it all joy. Not my fault. Tendon's fault. He should have been a little more attentive. But no, that's not how it works. It's only a blessing if you go back and the guy says, hey, don't worry about it. I got you covered. Thank you for just coming back in. So I knew I had to go back and pay for this. So it was funny. There was an attendant working. He was an oil guy. And I saw his face, and he remembered me from the day before. And he probably thought that I was coming in to complain. You messed up my oil, right? So right when I walked in the door, I saw his face. He followed me, and he came out, right? Came out of the office, the little area thing, and he says, can I help you? And I go, yeah. And you could see it. He was ready to defend the oil. He was going to defend it. And I said to him, I said, hey, I'm here because you didn't charge me for my inspection. He goes, what? You didn't charge me. He goes, okay. And he goes back in, he gets the manager, right? And the manager comes out. You guys know the story, right? And the manager comes out and goes, for real? Like, not for real, we didn't charge you. Like, for real, you're back? I'm like, yeah, why? Because I'm kingdom-minded, all right? I'm kingdom-minded. And so I said to him, yeah, man. He goes, dude, don't worry about it. He goes, thank you, though, for doing that, but don't worry about it. In this moment, I'm able to teach my child, Colton, this is why we do these things. This is why we do this. Because we get to be an example for the kingdom of God everywhere we go, everything we do. I'm not worried about $30, all right? Why am I not worried about $30? Because my God's my provider. I'm not worried about a blessing of $30. Some of you are like, what was it, $3,000? I'd still pay $3,000. Why? Because my faith is not built on an amount of finance. My faith is built on the promises of God, and he does what he says he'll do. And he says he'll take care of us. He'll bless us. He'll protect us. We are the ones who are in charge of doing what's right. We're kingdom-minded. We know what's right. It's important. A kingdom mentality will change our focus. It will change our decisions. It will change how we treat others. We don't have to force this way of thinking. It just comes natural. It's a natural thing. It comes as we listen to the Holy Spirit and as we allow him to guide us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When you hear that challenge and that charge that you are supposed to go to the ends of the earth, to Judea, Samaria, and all ends of the earth, you better know what you're talking about. That's going to be weird. One day God says, "Hey, Larry, move to Judea." Larry's going to be like, "Judea? I don't even know where that's at." Larry shows up in Judea, right? He better know what he's about to do, right? Some of you go to Food Lion. I've been to the Food Lion right up the street. You better know what you're doing. You better know what you need to say. I've been to places where you better know. When I was in Brazil, I was just having a good old time at this church. Man, there's so much. The worship in Brazil will change your life. Hanada. Was that Hanada that said amen? Oh, it was you. Because of Hanada. Yeah, that's right. Hanada and Andre, they are from Brazil. So anytime they get a chance to be like, "Well, Brazil," they're on it. But all right, anyway. Renata is beautiful, and their worship is so anointed. So here I'm in this service in Brazil, and they're just going at it. Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. And right at the end, I was just loving it. I was praying for people, and then that pastor looked at me and says, "Hey, there's a woman in the back that you need to pray for." I said, "Oh, okay. What's wrong?" "She's demon-possessed." You better know that you are a child of God. You better know. Some of you think I'm playing. This woman was legit. And in that moment, you look at her from a distance and you go, "Oh, no, not me. God, I was just having fun up front. This isn't fun." You better know. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. This declaration, this charge has been given to all of us in this room. You better know that you are a child of God. You better know what that means. It's being kingdom-minded. We got to learn to think like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're kingdom-minded, you're also able to reflect differently than anyone else. Your hindsight being 20/20 is legit. Hindsight 20/20 is beautiful. But when you see it through the kingdom eyes, you see where God is all through it. We may not know what God's going to do right now. We may not know what God's going to do tomorrow. But when you look back, you can see the evidence of the power of God in your life. You know, I lost my mom this past September to COVID. And it was a very trying and hard time for me and my family. And I remember a month prior to this, my friend Justin, who's a pastor in Ohio, he called me up and he said, "Hey, I'm about to do this mental challenge, this mental toughness for 75 days. And I want you to do it with me." And I was like, "No, I like donuts. I'm like, I like cake and pie. I love sugar." Like, I remember going through that process of like, "No." Or Anna and I talked about it over and over again. She goes, "Well, I'll do it with you." And I was like, "No, don't encourage this madness." And it requires you to do 2 workouts a day. So every evening, my wife and I would walk. That's a workout. Don't you start with me. Don't tell me what a workout is. 45 minutes of walking is a workout, all right? So my wife and I, we would walk every evening. And you know, during that time, my wife and I, we bonded more closely than ever. We had so many great conversations. No phones. It wasn't like we were walking around the neighborhood like this with our phones on. That's weird. So phones were gone, and we would just talk. And so then my mom passes, and I was required to do 2 workouts a day. And I remember the day she passed and the day we buried my mom, I did 2 workouts that day. And it was so wonderful to do the workouts because I just spent time with my wife and we talked about the goodness of God and we went through the mental challenges of it all and the difficulty and how we're gonna do things. It was so wonderful and healthy. And I reflect back in that moment and I think, isn't God so good that he got me in a position that I was able to heal through this process more quickly than I thought I would. Not that I'm healed to this day. I'm still sensitive about my mom passing, obviously. It's not easy. But in that moment that it took place, I remember that day, I looked at my wife and we would just begin to walk. And there was a few times she would want to start talking about something because my wife's a talker. And so, I just looked over and I go, let's just walk. But you would hear her praying underneath her breath, you know. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. She'd just be praying. You know, those are hard moments. But I'm thankful that my friend Justin called me up a month before and said, hey, you need to go through a mental toughness challenge. It's going to be hard. It's going to be wonderful, though, at the end of 75 days. You're going to love it. And I remember thinking, I'm so thankful that I did this. I'm so thankful that I had my wife beside me and that we had good conversations and that we were there to help one another through these hard questions. See, God's always with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through and he knows what you're about to go through. He's preparing everything for you. When you're kingdom minded, you're ready. You're equipped. He equips the saints for what? His work. He equips you. He prepares you. He takes care of you. Philippians 4:4-9, and I'm going to read it in the Message version. I just love the Message version because it brings out a more poetic sense of the scriptures, and I love it. So this is what it says in verse 4. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Isn't that wonderful? I just loved every single word spoken right there. It's so true. There's so much purpose in this room. There's so much true love in this room, and you can't hoard it. You've got to share it. You've got to go out there and you've got to minister to people. You've got to show them the love of God. You've got to be kingdom-minded everywhere you are. In the marketplace, you need to be kingdom-minded. In your homes, you need to be kingdom-minded. Are you sitting there cursing your children? Or are you sitting there blessing your children? Hey, I'm not going to lie. Last night I was in bed. It's daylight savings time. I went to bed early. I'm laying there and I get the text from Anna. Josh, I'm about to clean up the kitchen. Carly, our youngest daughter, she wants to do a devotional. Will you? And she made a devotional spot in her closet with little blankets, little cushiony things all around. And she wants to do a devotional. Will you go through one with her? And I'm thinking, no. Because it's not a 1-minute devotional. Is it going to be 15 to 20, maybe 30? Because I'm going to hear a lot of stories. And it's late. All the excuses. I've got to preach tomorrow. I've got to do all these things tomorrow. And I think, oh, I'm to bless this house, not curse this house. So I get up and I go, and she said, hey, mom said you could do a devotional with me. And I said, yeah. And then I saw her, she knew that dad did not want to climb in her closet. And she goes, would you want to do it in my closet? I go, yeah. Oh, goody. Oh, you can't wait. I can't wait to show you. Oh, my God. Here I go, crawling down into this closet. And we read the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. It was a good story. I said to her, right before it started, it talked about how there was no longer manna. God was no longer providing manna. And she said, what's manna? And I said, well, it was food that just appeared. Her eyes, food that just appeared? And I go, yeah. I was like, it's food that just appeared on the ground. I can't really explain it. It was kind of like flaky and different, like a cookie wafer thing, and they could make things with it. And she was just like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And I just started thinking about how beautiful it is to see someone who just gets excited about the smallest little things. Guys, there are so many people, it doesn't matter how old they are, when you can share with them the provision that God can do, what he can provide, the possibilities are just endless with him. When you're able to share that with people and then pray it out and just see it manifest out before your eyes, oh man, that changes everything. God's so good. So that gave me the opportunity to look at my daughter and say, hey, what do you need in your life? In that moment, I could pray. You can do the same thing with your own children. Are you blessing or are you cursing them? Are they the worst kids you've ever had in your entire life? My teenagers, Noah. Noah's the worst. I'm looking at Jessica. I love Noah. Noah's one of my favorite youth kids. Although he does have the highest score on the basketball game up there. I was telling my friend AJ about it. This is wrong. He's cheated somehow. Noah, is he a blessing or a curse? How do you speak about him in your house? Do you have the worst teenagers? Or do you have the best teenagers? Are you training them? Or are you tripping them? Train or trip? That's the question. Train or trip? We should be training our children. Two things really quickly. In this scripture verse, it talks about meditating and dwelling. Now listen, I don't want us to get into this earthly, worldly type of thought of meditating where you cross your legs, you put your fingers out, and you start doing weird sounds. That is of the devil. What I'm asking is what the scriptures say is you're meditating on his words. You're sitting on that word and letting it dwell inside of you where it's permeating your entire body, who you are. That you're gut checking yourself with the scriptures. We can't afford to entertain messages that work against peace, love. We can't sit there and waste time on these things of this world. The Word of God tells us to not dwell on those things, that we've got to meditate on His goodness. We must be able to praise God for the things we're dwelling on. So if you're believing for a new job, you got to be praising God for that new job, not dwelling on how bad the job you got is right now. That was good English, by the way. You need to be dwelling on the goodness of God, what God can do and what he's going to do. We need to hook up. We've got to hook up with like-minded individuals. We need support. We need good examples. Because we have a great program here at this church. We have a marriage mentor program where you can hook up with other marriages where they are on fire for God and they're going to coach you. They're going to equip you. If you want to get connected with that group, you can go right out here to the lobby, to the information counter, and ask them more questions about the marriage mentoring. When you get in like-minded situations, you're going to see God's word in a greater revelation. Anna was cheerful about the two individuals, Cameron and Aaron, getting baptized this morning. Why? Because they're a part of her group. That's her group. She's locking arms with these guys, with all of the crew, man. They're so much fun. I've been a part of the group a few times. There's about, 8 to 12 of us in this little group. We want more of you. 18 to 29, is that the age group? Man, get involved. If you want to find out about these groups that we have, go to the information counter. Why? Because it's important to lock arms with people, asking questions with like-mindedness. Why? Because we need that support. When we're rejoicing and we're praying and we're dwelling on the right things, watching the right people, we will grow with more understanding and increase that measure of faith in our lives. The second thing I want you to do outside of meditating on his word is become dependent on God. That dependency on God is key. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, in the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Why would Jesus say it like that? Blessed is the poor in spirit, because you have nothing to offer God. When you settle in and acknowledge that you have nothing to offer, then you become poor in spirit. And you acknowledge that only by him, only through him, by his spirit alone, it changes everything. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I encourage you this week, go out with the charge of the knowledge of knowing that you are a son and a daughter of the Lord Most High. That you won't settle for anything less. That you are kingdom-minded. And that when you acknowledge the fact that it's not by your might, it's not by your strength, it's not this notion of I can conjure up all these things, I can do this, that it's just by him and him alone, his presence. There's a process. And in that process, when you begin to follow him, you're in his presence. When you abandon that process, when it gets too tough, and you don't want to call out upon his name to open up the floodgates, to open up and part the Red Sea, to do the miraculous, then you miss out on his presence. When it gets tough, dig in. That's when kingdom-minded is seen. Be kingdom-minded this week. Expect the miraculous. Expect the big. Pray over your spouses. Pray over your children. Pray over your bosses, your coworkers, your neighbors. Pray, 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 pray. Get on your hands and knees and worship him. Find yourself in his presence for his revelation, his knowledge on situations. The reason why these stories are so wonderful to read is because they're jam-packed with moments where everyone in this book recognized the relentless and stupidity of the devil, but acknowledged that God is greater and bigger, and they acknowledge the fact that it's not by them. They acknowledge the fact that there's no way, no way, unless it's by him. That it's by him that everything comes together, that everything is knit together. So I would encourage you this week, change the balance, blessing and cursing. Choose life and not death. Dwell on the good things. Expect the good things. Reflect on what God's been doing, looking back at the faith foundational blocks that you've been building behind you. To just reflect and go, oh my gosh, God has been with me through the fire. God has been with me this entire time. Praise him for it. Thank him for it. I'm so thankful that you guys chose to wake up this morning and come to church. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, do not leave today without making that wonderful decision that changes everything. Change your atmosphere. Change your trajectory by choosing Jesus Christ today. It's the most important decision you can make on your life.